Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and Forever podcast. Today, joining me is Robert Boyle and John Clifford, two regular guests on the panel. Basically, guys, we all know it's been a public few days again, supporting Celtic. This podcast is really getting your views, obviously, the St Mirren game and obviously the transfer deadline. There's a few things that have been happening recently, which I think a lot of fans are happy about, and I think we just need to discuss a lot of things. So it could be another long podcast to get our teeth into. Well, obviously, John, you're just back on again. St Mirren, far away with your thoughts after the game.
As expected, as I've said before, the way the team's playing at the moment, you're just expecting a performance like that. You're just expecting mistakes like that. It's just, it doesn't surprise me. And I don't think it's finished yet. I think it's just, it's going to go on for a few games yet, especially if it what you could say is a decent run of fixtures against teams for the bottom half of the league who have struggled, to be fair. Disappointing.
Because as we have said, I've heard, and other times, any other manager, you'd like to think you'd have got all 3 points at every game we played this year. Comfortable in our games, you think. If we're going to have any chance of calling points back, this would have been the time to get points back on the board. And again, you've got a game in Horn on Saturday, and you drop points. Again, Robert, we've spoken about, we need to win the games in Horn, there's no guarantees, and obviously the result on Saturday, St Mirren's first in 31 years at Parkhead, we're breaking every record that we shouldn't be breaking. And it's just, I don't know your thoughts after the game, Robert, but it's just very, very bad times, you know?
As I said, Brian, previous podcast, I didn't expect us to get a result, and it's no way we want to have a result. I just don't see us in a good place at this moment in time. There's no... We're not playing as a team. We're playing as individuals. The tactics have been changed 33 times in 36 games or something this season. With no natural width on the park, as you've seen on Saturday. We were playing tumble at a position to accommodate two strikers, which I get. And we just looked miles off it. St Mirren quite easily played when about us. They played as a unit, they played as a team. There was a togetherness about St Mirren. Everything you expect for Celtic, St Mirren had that we didn't have. They knocked the ball about, they were confident in each other, they were harrying, they were chasing, they were pressing as a team. We were doing everything as individuals, and that's just how we've been talking about how we are as a team. And it all stems from the management. The management just, they've tried everything in their power to get us out this rut, and it's no happening. His excuses are gone now. To Dubai, or we only have a team. The excuses are gone now. We've now get beat at home, as you say, the first time in 31 years. Recent month, we've drew with Livingston at home, as you say, the lesser teams of the league. The teams that you would say you've still got Hibs, Aberdeen and Rangers and stuff to come up. I don't see it. It was just this, on the game, Ryan, I seen, we had two up front, we were 2-1 down at half-time. We all heard the rumours about the fallout with Griffiths. But then them things on our centre midfielder on the park in a congested area where we're not getting any joy. Mm-hmm. At that point, you've got two attacking midfielders on the park, practically really the same position. It just, I don't know, it just baffles me now, mate. And I've actually lost my anger that you get watching Celtic now, if you can see that goal or that, you're just sitting there with me fighting you, really, watching it.
You're numb, aren't you? I think you're past the angry stage, as you say, and it's just the thing with Griffiths. I was going to talk about it later on, but I'll talk about it now here. The thing with me with that was, that's what I say to John watching it at half time. We thought it was an injury, because that's why they've been took off. And obviously, Texas during the game, it's maybe this or that. But again, it's still come out in the press and everything, so you don't really know. But even at that, why are you putting Wilgates on when you've got £8 million worth of strikers sitting on the bench? You've got a Yeti who's been. He's got a goal in him. Kamara, you don't really know. He's still to prove himself in a way. You can't say, and then come out and say, oh, they're no football. You need to play these guys to go. If you're trying to win the game, why go one man up front? Everyone knows he's no striker. Right away, I'm not saying you're a man down, but you're not going to be affected where on this up front you will be with a Yeti, because I thought a Yeti came on. He's seen a bit what he's got to hold the ball, and I know he likes a wee dive, right? I know that's as John hates that, right? But to me, as a striker, he's been a bit clever. He's trying free kick, he's trying something, and I think it's something that we mentioned in our podcast. We cleared that if we had a winger that could get balls in for a Yeti on the park, I think it would score goals. But for me, Rogic, I'm a big Rogic fan. I don't know what you think of it, John, but I think Rogic's time, like a few other guys' times, it should have been done in the summer. As much as we were happy that we kept our best players, on hindsight now you're thinking we should have refreshed in 4 or 5 players and both did.
I couldn't believe it. Rogic, come on. We are struggling now and everybody's got to put their shoulder at the wheel. He's not exactly a guy that's going to do that. He's a luxury player. He's not going to run about much, is he? Aye, he might be great on the ball sometimes, but I think his time's gone. I said to you on our podcast, that team for Qatar, whatever, was offered 4 or 4.4 million for him or something. I went, that's a disgrace. Like, for the ability the guy's got, he's worth a lot more than that. You'll not get that type of money now for him. As I said, it's not just him. What the players are worth now compared to what they were worth a year ago is a fraction of what it would have been a year ago. And it's serious money the club are losing with that. You should strike while the iron's hot. Everybody loves Edward. Whether or not they think he's trying now or not. Last year, Edward was a £40 million player. You probably agree with me. You're not going to get that now. Tottenham Cham going away. A year ago, Cham was a £15 million player. And now he's turned into a £4.5 million player. What, approximately what we paid Man City for. How the fuck have we not made any money on Cham? 2 years ago, he was a world beater. Looked as if he was going to go into great things. He's another one that's regressed. Is that the manager? Don't know. Seems to be. People have said, tell me a player that's improved under Lennon, and you'll be scratching your head, won't you?
I said I will touch on the transfers side, but I do agree with you that we've got to cash in on. Again, that just pinpoints how bad the recruitment's been. Most of the podcasts we've done this season's all, apart from the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, has all been about how bad the recruitment's been. We've been talking about it since October, how bad the recruitment's been, and it's not been recognised. Again, I will touch on the Davis and all that, because there's a lot I want to get into with that, but on the game with St Mirren, again, Rogic, I agree with you when it comes to, I couldn't believe he was putting him on. I understand that I love the guy for what he's done for us and the treble victory, the goal, but the past is done, and we need to look at this season, and there's just so much. There's the guy like Mikey Johnson, he put him on with 10 minutes to go. What the fuck's that going to change again? You're 2-1 doing against St Mirren, 10 minutes to go. Why? Why 10 minutes to go? Why no put him on at half time? At least he gives you a bit of width, as you say, what we're crying out. Oh, you can see we've made width. And that, what I noticed as well, it was only when I was watching the highlights of the game. For the first throw St Mirren done, I think, no, it was a kick, it was a throw-in. I thought it was a goalkeeper. They were playing dead weight. Now, I'm not an expert, right? I know that we're playing against St Mirren. Might not be the best of teams, but their own form. Jim Dudman's went 4-4-2, basically went for it. He's playing with two wingers, and we're playing with a diamond. Right, for me, right away, that's going to cause you trouble down that side. That's just, I don't know if Lenny's just thinking a game he's done all season. Oh, it's Hamilton, it's St Mirren. We've got the players to win. And you can just go in the park with a diamond and go, you're going to win. You've got to, in my opinion, put a formation in a team to win that game of football, not just because you like playing a diamond. For me, the diamond, again, it didn't work, in my opinion. It didn't work. It might have worked the last week or the week before, but for me, it didn't suit that game. I don't know what you think of that, Robert, but I think with all other players, with Tumbo as well, out of position, you're taking his game out, and for me, it was detriment to his no winning a game.
We're just in the natural width, Brian, and that's where you beat these teams that are compact and kind of setting up their system, is doing the wings, because you look at the size of Celtic Park, it is massive. Your joy is, if they compact the middle of the park, you've got to move the ball wide, left, right, through the middle, move it across the park. That's where you all, 90% of a game of football is one coming down wings, is stretching teams. If you're playing in a compact area, I think we could set up a team to compact that. It's no hard, because all you're doing is running into traffic. I mean, Messi would have struggled to score past St Mirren's flat back eight or whatever it is. When they're just all compact, it's impossible. It's only going to be beating a team like that is a bit of magic with 30 yards or a lovely bit of play with Edward with the equaliser, but very rarely you're going to get through. I mean, Jack Rannick, I can't remember him really pulling any saves, notable saves. Can you remember it?
Not really, no.
We used to be a team that would pepper teams' goal 15, 20 shots, and if you do or get beat, you would go, they were lucky as fuck, they actually, mm-hmm. And on our day, we'd have scored five. I can't remember the last time I watched Celtic and says, we should have beat a team 3-4 or 5-0. I can't remember it, honestly. It would baffle me to go back and try and find a time that we actually looked like we were out and up for a game and beating teams. Under Lennon, it's regressed, and it's like a sinking ship, and the ship's just sinking further and further. And the guy is totally insane, these comments. I don't even listen to these comments now. I can't. He makes me physically sick. He's made me like him, be liking him, to disliking him. And I don't know whether I want to say that, but that's just how he has made me and how the club has treated us as supporters is a total disgrace. The new Celtic, I'm actually at the lowest I've been. Even in the 90s, I was low as this, but we didn't have money. We didn't have what we were meant to be, an elite club. We were going through a period back then as we had no money. We were nearly hitting the brick wall with finances. We've no excuses now. Back then, you had excuses for that. No, we've no excuses. It's all down to our own stupidity, arrogance and neglect. And this is what it's came to. That's just the way I feel with Celtic at the moment.
I say on that, I will touch on that because it's something I'm big on as well, is all this review talk and all that, but I will touch on that. But obviously you're talking about Edward's equaliser. For me, again, that goal, it was brilliant, but I thought this shot was a bit of it was a good goal, but I can't even really criticise the goal, but I just thought that the full game, his performance, his wee flicks and tricks, but it just looks half-hearted and it just looks like I don't want to be here. And it's, again, I don't want to criticise the guy's professionalism because he probably is trying, but maybe not the effort that we've seen, because he's nowhere near the guy that John spoke about, who I've been saying he's one of the best players that I've seen at Park Quayd, maybe since Larson. He's got all the ability in the world. And then the first goal, for me, again, Greg Taylor, I don't want to keep coming on here and being negative about players and criticising professionals, but he's not going to take us forward. I know we've only got him and Laxalt, but he's got to do better, man. He's getting sucked in, and then he's letting the guy away. Duffy's come out again. I've scored, and I thought Scott Bain didn't cover himself in glory either. I don't think I'm too critical. I didn't think he...
No, didn't.
And then, I just don't know what you think on that, John, but, you know, my feelings on... I think a lot of guys who listen to the podcast and girls that listen to the podcast, for me, Gary Taylor's not going to be the man to take it forward. I know we've got to maybe deal him the new at the end of the season, but I don't think if we want to progress as a club, as Robert says, Lowell keeps him in an elite club. We want to do well in Europe. I know you can maybe be a better coach, you might get a bit better, but I don't think you're going to get a guy that's going to take his up and down, buzz in the box. And for me, he's always wanting to turn back the way. He's not wanting to go forward with the ball.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if that is me being too critical. I like people to tell me I'm talking utter gash, but I think just by watching him, I don't know if it's because we're too used to Gary Taylor, John, Kieran Tierney, John, that I'm thinking them maybe too far ahead about Dave Taylor, but I don't think, I think there's enough chances now. I think under a better manager, I don't think he would get a game. I don't even feel he would make the bench. That's just my opinion, John.
I would say he's more solid than Laxalt, to be fair. He did get drawn out of position. They did fucking play it round about him. You see Scott Bain turned away when the guy shot. You just fucking take it in the face of the boys, whatever. That's what you're there for. Poor goal to lose. Got to remember, Greg Taylor's a Scotland international shrine. So is fucking Stephen O'Donnell ringing off in Gallagher. No talking about Scotland, but that's international players that Sarah are signing. They're no diddies, if you know what I mean. Greg Taylor was a proven left back to Kilmarnock. He's trying to step up. I don't think he's good enough to play. Don't like to criticise him too much. But going forward, I don't think he's good enough, as you say.
Yeah, a lot of people might listen in or say, aye, maybe they criticise too much or Ryan criticise. I'm just saying from my point of view, and because of what we have seen, I think Robert might agree maybe, because of what you've seen the last 3 or 4 years, how high we were pressing, how high we were, the boys were getting fired in the box, and I don't think the recruitment's been good enough. Again, we've signed 3 left-backs, Laxalt, Bolly and Taylor. Worth, what, maybe, oh, and maybe 9-10 million worth wages and everything else, I don't know. And I think for the money that we're spending, it's no good enough for the product on the park.
No, Ryan, it's a shambles. We've already said it. It's like, if you make so many mistakes in a job, surely there's got to come a time, I'm not talking about learning and now, I'm talking about the recruitment. Surely you've got to be sacked. I mean, you keep making mistake after mistake. I mean, this isn't blowing 200 grand, 300 grand. This isn't millions of pounds. And we've still not got a solution to the left back. Now we've not even got a right back. We've got a guy who's just came in loan. But if you want to talk about that, then now, Ryan, I don't see the point in it. I've nothing against the boy. The boy might be absolutely brilliant. But why go on a player for 6 months with no option to buy? And I just feel... It was desperation, really, to go on. Mm-hmm. We need a right back. We need a right back. Who will we get? We'll go and get this boy because Everton will give him for 6 months and they want to make progress. Spring up to Celtic Park. You get 6 months up there and that way he's at least getting game time. But what does it benefit Celtic? Let's be honest. Do we really need them for the run-in? Like, to maybe scrape by into second place? Because for me right now, that isn't even guaranteed. People might think, oh, he's been a bit of hysteria here, he's overreacting, but we are playing really bad teams now, and I can't see where our next win's going to come from. And the players just look to me as if they're down tools, they really do. I don't know if that's because they don't want to be here, I don't know if they're fed up with Celtic, I don't know if they're fed up with Lennon, I don't know if there's a big divide in the changing room, but it is absolute amateurish to tap to bottom. And the club were all great at coming out and telling us when you were doing 9 in our own quadruple tables, boasting about how good it was. Now their silence is totally deafening. They tap the bottom and you just want them to come out and they come out and say, Neil Lennon's here at the end of the season, but we've got this manager, the way they've done it with Peter Lawwell, this manager's come in, He's looking at the team now. He's telling us where we want to go, but you're going to be stuck with. You could maybe bite your nails and grit your teeth and go, we can do it at the end of the season because we've got this appointment coming. The season book renewals is up, what, 3-4 weeks? They'll be firing them through your door, begging you to renew it to help Celtic over the line. And we nearly need you more than ever because of the pandemic and all this crap. Right now, I don't see them selling any season books. There will obviously be a lot of fans that will be desperate to renew because they've had it 20-odd year or 15-year or whatever, but how can you sell a season book and see a really a package for £500 or £600 when what you're watching is total junior football? Let's be honest.
But you see, on obviously you talk about the guy signed for Everton, right? Lenny says in his presser today, I'll touch more on his presser later, but he touched on that saying, I've been a long admirer of him, so why no sign him the summer then? If you've known about him for that long. Why not sign him even at the start of January? Why do you need to wait to the last day of the window? I don't know why teams in general. Again, I don't know if I'm getting too hyped up about it, because I don't know the ins and outs of what happens in clubs, what they do for a procedure. But for me, sure, it doesn't take you 30 days to get a guy on loan for Everton who, it's not like he plays every week for Everton. He's on the bench, on the squad, he's on the bench. So it's not like he's playing every week. So why does it take you 30 days? And it's not like you've got to get him travel for Russia or something. He's coming to down south. He's only coming across the water. So, again, it's the same with Ben Davies, but we'll touch on that later with the transfers. But for me, I agree with you. He might come in and he might steady the ship. He might be a very good defender. But why, as you say, with the option to buy, you're basically getting for 6 months, giving him 6 months for development for Everton, 6 months his wages and go and see you later, and then you're left without another right back because Walsh is not good enough. Yeah. Alham is looks like he might be gone in the summer because you're hearing bits and bobs. His agent says he's not happy, and his agent says he's happy. You don't know. He played against Rangers, which nobody's seen since. Come off the bench for 15 minutes, nobody's seen since. It's just, we can talk about it for a long time, John, but when it comes to that, I really don't know the thinking behind it. I understand the thinking behind trying to maybe get a good player in for 6 months, but the thinking behind not having an option to buy, I'd like to think he'd only be worth £10 million. He's on the bench for Everton, and Everton have got a lot of, they're starting to sign a lot of stars now, a lot of money with Ancelotti there. He's probably going to be out the door in the summer. Surely he would go, listen, even if it's just he's the first option on him to talk to him, something. I don't know what you think of that, John, but I think Celtic's getting a bit, maybe, I understand you've got to have the loan market and use it to your advantage. Maybe loan a guy for a full season at LNRC, maybe go and like, today we're a game, maybe keep going again. But 6 months and then saying, see you later, the club's not going to progress, in my opinion, if we keep doing that.
Can you tell me a successful loan signing that came to Celtic, apart from Fraser Forster?
Maybe Paddy Roberts at a push. I thought John Guidetti was alright in the first few months he was here, and then obviously Dyla Binnam because of business time. There's not a lot of Aaron Lucy, you can say he's been alright because he starts, we'll say he's been alright. But apart from that, I think Foster's the main one, isn't it?
Aye. It's not a market that Celtic's been successful in. It's just money down the drain, paying wages for the players, paying a loan fee and getting nothing out of it at the end of the day. It's not a route I would go down. You want to talk about later on about the youth side there. How come we've not got boys coming, champing the door, coming through? But you want to speak about that later, don't you?
Aye.
But Earl Robertson, playing every week down south, came up here and he's not kicked a ball. Why bring the boy back? Was he on the bench on Saturday?
No, he got loaned back out.
Oh, he went back out, sorry. Must apologise, I must have missed that. But so he was up for back for maybe 3 games and didn't feature. That's poor.
Because obviously you're talking about loan guys that have came to the club. Saturday again, Shane Duffy's come in. The second goal, I don't want to laugh at the guy, But that
no, just laugh.
That's defending that, well, yourself, John. You're a football coach at an amateur club. If that was one of your defenders, you play centre back, your management team would be big enough on that. Let's be honest, you would. That's mistakes that some amateur players don't even make. I'm not a defender, but you know, you face the ball, you don't fucking get yourself all tangled. And we're talking about an experienced internationalist here, with how many caps he's had, a lot of caps. Played, as we spoke before, John, before we came on, he's got 21 games for Brighton last year. So it wasn't like he didn't play at all for Brighton. So he did play some part in the Premier League. So I think the guys, I don't know if it's because he's a Celtic fan and everything's, I don't know what it is, but I know the big man himself, probably known he's not done himself justice, because I think when I first seen him signing, I couldn't believe how brilliant he'll get his sword at the back. And this is where I think, when and again, Robert spoke about his mismanagement, this is where a good manager, I know we're struggling with centre backs, right? But you've got a young guy in Welsh, see for 6 months, the fans aren't going to criticise that boy because he's only coming into the team getting experience. If he fails, he fails. But they'd rather give a youth a chance, in my opinion, for the next 6 months than a guy who's not been there really all season, no playing well all season. If they've got a good manager, in my opinion, Robert, like a Rodgers or even maybe a Dyer might have even done this, take the guy out of the situation, send him away down back, sorry, for 2 months, listen, go and get his seat and come back up. That's, for me, that's where your management skills comes in.
Aye, the boy Welsh, I don't really think the boy's done too bad. I've seen him, I've never remembered him making any howlers like Duffy or even Beaton in that case. He's probably the better one out of freedom. But Lennon's no great at developing young boys, as you say. He's no, that's no his game. He's just ready for then and now type of thing. Obviously, he broke James Forrest through, but that was there 4 years or something. 3 years, whatever he was in charge, he only broke one guy through the youth team. I don't think he's one that concentrates on the youth development. And this is the perfect time, as you say, to bring him in. Because we're not exactly playing the best. So why not give the boy a run against? But Shane Duffy, the less we say about him, the better, to be quite honest with you. The guy's honestly looks like he's got his two fucking shoeless. He's tied together at times. He's fucking tipping nail hangs, four nail hangs, running about with a fucking blindfold on. I don't know what he's doing. I honestly don't. If I don't laugh, I'll greet on the matter. He's a fucking absolute shambles, man. I just, honestly, he was playing with another team. I'd be going mad. What?
He keeps picking him, even though he's honking. He keeps picking him.
I know. I don't get it, John. I honestly don't get it. Is it because they're giving him that crazy wage up here that they feel they need to play him? But I think he's costing you more with the mistakes he's making. I can't remember a game he's not made a mistake and it's cost a goal. I can't remember one of the last games. It's like, honest to God, it's like somebody's won a Paradise windfall at Celtic Park, but it's, you don't get money. You get a year's contract and sent off for Celtic. Duffy comes out the fucking North Stone with this ticket. Aye, right, that's you. You're the centre half for Celtic for the year. That's what it's like. Because I think you could probably pick somebody at the Stone who'd be a better centre half than him. He's fucking horrendous. He's reading the game and everything's shambolic.
Because I can remember when we signed him, a few Brighton fans or Abergus signed for these guys and I hope he does well for yous and blah, blah, blah. And nobody really says he was going to be bad for us. So I was thinking, so I've seen him like a lot of us. I've seen him play for Ireland. You've seen him play during the match of the day. And Brighton have been decent since they've come up. They've survived. I don't know if it's in this season, as the months has went on, we've had to defend quite a bit. So you think then that's when maybe he'd come to the fore, John. But like, on Saturday again, the goal, man, it's just, as soon as the ball went to Eric Sieg, you just knew something was going to score. And again, I thought, I don't really want to criticise the goalie too much because he didn't have a lot today, but I didn't think he covered himself and Gorey with a second goal either. Again, turned his face away, didn't look at the ball. So, again, I don't think I've been too critical because you're no hurting anymore. You're just, you're getting a bit peed off with how how bad it is, and then he's we're just saying that Barkas has got to be the number one goalie now, and then he's no one, then he's no in goals. He's only played two of the last five or six games, if I'm saying that. It's just, isn't it, John? It's just everything's just building up and building against him. He's positioning with Tumble again. He's positioning players who he's putting every week. I know you maybe only get a select option of who you're playing, but I'd rather maybe give guys on the bench, like, as much as I might not rate Mikey Johnson, play him. Guys who are going to be in that position, they know what they're doing, instead of putting guys in position. And Welsh at centre-back, guys who I've got maybe have something to prove. I've got 6 months to prove myself here.
See, the first one, but people say, Big Shane's a Celtic fan. Couldn't he care if you're a Celtic fan or no? Or these foreign boys aren't the Celtic fans. That's got nothing to do with playing with Celtic. He's been honking since he came. Scored a couple of goals his first couple of games, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But he's been absolutely horrendous. It's the basics. As I said before, good players do the basics all the time. He can't do the basics, right? As Robert says, he's fucking got his shoelaces tied together. Unbelievable the way he turned round on Saturday, wasn't it? Faced the other way. Basic mistakes.
I just think it's, as Robert says, he keeps playing him. He keeps playing him. And
he's playing him in the boy Welsh, is he?
I know.
But what I would say, I do agree with maybe, I'd like to see Welsh play the rest of the season, but she, because we're so bad, that boy might get dragged down as well and have a right bad spell. It's maybe unfair on the boy. I don't know. I prefer a bit of experience here, but we've not really got it, have we?
Because obviously you're talking about guys aggressing. I thought Tumble and Sorrow had the two worst games in a Celtic jersey on Saturday. Sorrow wasn't getting a hold of the ball. Tumble wasn't getting the alliance to go and get the ball forward and play football. And I think he had one or two shots in goal. Normally Tumble was, again, because Griffiths was on the park, he's taking free kicks, he's taking the corners. Edwards was at it. Tumble's kind of just getting left in luck again. But against Hibs and Livingston, he's taking the ball, full confidence, I'm taking this, I'm taking that. And I think under Lennon, I think these guys are just going to regress again, and I don't want that to happen. I want somebody to come in, because there's so many players regressing under him now. Edward started to regress, and then Cham, he's away now. For me, and Cham under Rodgers was frightening. He might have had five or six good games, two or three bad games, but I thought Cham under Rodgers was, he's one of your mainstays in the team, because you knew he would give you that killer pass, or he would deliver a good ball in the box. He was a bit kind of energy in the middle of the park. We've not got that anymore from him, because he's, again, in his press comms today, man, he says 18 months he's doing it and Cham wanted away. So why is he still here? Why is he still here if he doesn't want to be here? Again, mismanagement, Robert.
The guy looks like he's needing to walk up now, because how he's not been sacked is beyond a joke. I bet you Alex Dyer, the Kilmarnock, who just got sacked the other day, his record's probably in a similar one to Neil Lennon's. 7 wins or 6 wins in 24 games. I can guarantee I've not seen it, but I was looking at it the other day and I meant to actually have a look to see, but they've sacked him. Ross County sacked their manager with a record similar to him. So what the hell's keeping him at Celtic? What is it he's got? Because it's certainly no management. It's certainly no the players are playing for him. I don't know. I really don't. Has the board just not got another option the way they gave him the job in the showers? They've no other option because they were that arrogant and just thought it was all going to work out. I don't know. That's baffling me. But the more I watch Celtic, the more I don't like the guy. And I think his mental health's probably fucking at an all-time high. He's saying stupid things. He's kind of away with stupid things. These interviews are just pre-recorded shite that you get every game. You know what I mean? As I said, I've not listened to the last two or three, but it's the usual crap. We lack energy, we lack creativity. Players only want to be here. Players only want to do this. Why does he not take the blame for it? Why does he not turn and go, by the way? He did say in August, was it August, September time? If things start to take a dip in form.
October, sorry.
He says, if things start to take a dip in form, I'll hold my hands up and I'll ski up. He's not done that. He's just arrogant, and it's about him now. It's only about him ever, but we know he's just shown his true colours and that. I've seen a thing for the Rangers game. Somebody put on Twitter, I don't know if it's true, but for the Rangers game at Celtic Park, if you took the league for rent, you know, we'd be sitting fourth in the league. I don't know if that's true. Somebody put that, and I went, wow, that's scary. How bad we are. So I don't see us winning at Kamala on Tuesday either. I don't see it. It's not, I obviously want us to, but I don't see it. No under him in a plastic pitch and tactically, no get a clue.
Because obviously, you're talking about obviously his mental health as well. I think I was listening to Chris Sutton and Robbie Savage in Five Live, and even Chris Sutton says that. He says he's my mate, and he says, I think for Celtic's good and Neil's health and Neil's good, I think he's got to go now, because I can see it, and he's, I don't think he's right, and I don't think his mental health's right at all, because one minute he's smutting through press conferences, and the next minute he's getting angry, and I'm like, I think for the good he's in health, I think it's maybe time to step aside and take a break and get yourself re-energised, because the stuff he's saying in press conferences, and then he's saying the day that I think one of the guys from the BBC asked him, obviously Lowell's away now, are you going to fall, does that mean you're falling shooting or someone? He says, why would I have any intention of going? And I'm like, you can't kid the fans on. The fans will not be there next year. I know people, like Rangers fans and the other side of the city might say, ah, real fans, you go to the game, you fans this. Listen, see if your team is performing as bad as we are and the manager's not doing very well. The board, as you say, the silence about all this review, it's absolutely deafening. The lack of respect for the fans and the guys that pay the money, and obviously the guy, the John Paul Taylor, the amount of work he's getting at his door, messages, letters, it must be hard for him as well, him to deal with all this, because he's probably not really got everything that he knows what's happening. I think Lennon's, as you say, in October, he says if things go down, I'll put my hands up. I think that's been and gone now, and I think what you says earlier, that if the board just come out and says he's getting a job for the summer and he's gone, like Dyer had done near the end of his career, and says, by the way, I'm end of the season, I'm off, I'll play the rest of my games, and that's it. If he does that, I think fans might go, right, okay, we're not happy with the situation, but we'll watch a game through our fingers and we'll just hold on to the end of the season. But I think now, John, it's no manager, but some fans are different. Some fans might get a bit personal. Some fans might get a bit angry towards him. And I think his legacy is slowly, it's not going to be the legacy that he should have and what he would like to have. And I don't think he's going to get it anymore.
The reason he should go, it's not for his mental health sake, his health, it's because he's failed at his job.
Mm-hmm.
As the bottom line, he's failing. He's locking the crowds under there, and people's paid for their books up front. People that are just a stop gone and done whatever else they've done this Saturday. Was it you said Hibs were seventh or something in the league when they sacked him or whatever?
I don't know, they were ninth or eighth when they left him or something. They were not doing very well. They started off well and then they crept down again, and then Cam Berry, a few players went to the board. And then I like your wife. I see that's the truth. That's just what I've heard through Twitter and the vines, that players went to Dempster and says they weren't happy about him.
There was a fallout, wasn't there?
Mm. So I was adamant when we signed him as manager again. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. I'm like, are you joking me? Fair enough. I think I had a bet on for Celtic to win the treble, so I was buzzing. And then, Lennon's a manager. And I was like, what? I think a lot of fans were very deflated. It was like you just lost the treble, no, won the treble. I think a lot of fans felt the same from what I've seen on Twitter, and sharing tweets are all kind of feeling the same. And fair enough, they came in with Rodgers, won the league. I know he won the league last year, but you could see it away from the start of pre-season, Griffiths came back overweight, that the professionalism was starting to drop, and now, for me, it's dropped to the lowest I've seen since I've been watching Celtic, Robert.
Aye, well, the Griffiths issue, the ball and goalie issue, to me that's no a team that's gone for 10 in a row. There's too many issues behind the scenes. It's not getting addressed. It was just cracks appearing there, and we didn't take. I'm not saying the fans knew it. Obviously, what's happening, we always kept putting banners up, no sleeping at the wheel, don't ruin your legacy, blah, blah, blah. But the board didn't see it coming, and the management didn't see it coming. As you've seen, they're giving me winning the fucking job in the showers. As you say, I remember leaving Hampden that day and feeling deflated, and you've just won another treble. And talking to people coming back for the game, and my mate, one of the biggest fan of Lennon, he was going half his head, he was going bananas. And just as a club, it's just we didn't stop the cracks when they started to appear. Like Griffiths coming back, he should have been put on a training regime right away. Ball and goal should have been dealt with right away. I did deal with it, but I felt they were too late to deal with it. They got them at the club too late. Their recruitment in the summer was slow, laboured. They didn't get the right guys in, what they should have done. It's just, if you pile small things up, they end up becoming big things, and that's what's happened. And now the big things has just come down and failed Tapias as a club. And it's just going for cheap options and try to... I mean, we know Damien Duff is leaving, right? Who's meant to be a really good coach, and we didn't even know how to replace him, so we go and get a guy. I'm not saying Gavin Strachan, I don't know what he does, right, but he might be an alright coach or whatever, but we go and get a guy for Peterborough at an elite club at Celtic, you know what I mean, to replace a guy like Damien Duff, who was very highly voted. To me, it's just the cheap options now coming back to bite us in the arse at every opportunity. And don't get me wrong, we've probably splashed a lot of cash on average players, and again, we're saying that fucking like Barkas, never a £5 million goalkeeper in his life. Ayeti, never a £5 million striker in his life. In my opinion, that is. And we've probably been desperate and spending more money than we actually should have on average players, because we didn't do our homework on players, we didn't do things right, and we've not got a plan B. I mean, the other boy Davis, who we'll met the same, why not have that contact written and done at the start of January? Why wait to the 30th? Liverpool come in and take him off you, and you've still not got this contact. Why have we not got a plan B for another centre-half to come in? We're desperate to try to get a guy for Tottenham reserves, a young boy coming through. No, that's not happening. We don't have a plan A, B and C. We have plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, we just run a bit like headless chickens trying to get a plan B, and it's come back to bite us in the arse, and that's just simply it. But that's the tap of the club, right in the club. And I think that's what the poison's just come ripping through the full club.
See on Canary, you were talking about going to kind of transfers and recruitment. A guy, a question for Robert Smythe, he says, something must be done about our transfer methods. Every time we're interested in a player, it takes ages to get anything done. How many targets have we missed out on recently through penny pinching and delays? Nick Hammond is a disaster. Should we try and get Damien Duff back? On that, Robert, I agree with you. I think we're going to talk about it every me days, penny pinching, and understand we're going through a pandemic, but we've just sold Jeremy Frimpong for £11 million. So surely you've got £1 million to sign the guy Davis, who, as you've said, Robert, we've now for the height winning, so said in the summer he's that again, didn't he, or something? So they've now for then, they've had 30 days in this window to sign a how long did it take to sign a pre-contract? I understand maybe Ben Davis is humming and harring about signing, but see if Celtic want Ben Davis. You listen, pal, you sign the new or no? We can't wait 2-3 weeks. We are. If Peter Lowell's John try to say that we're this elite club and we're Celtic, we don't accept second best, say to him, listen, you've got a week or two to tell me. If you don't want it, offers off the table. Just be ruthless. That's what all these top, cheek executive chairmen are, and these big Man United, the Glazers, they're ruthless. If you don't want to come, fine, don't come.
What I would say with Davis is, well, the current Champions League holders have signed the boy, so I would imagine the boy's very good. And I think we might have missed the boat on him. He might have been a player that we could have sold in a year or two's time for mega money, as we do. see regarding young Strachan, I'm not going to criticise a guy. He came from League One. And before that, do you know, it was a couple of non-league teams he was with as well. He's not been in the Football League for a long time. But I think the criticism he gets a bit unfair. He's only doing what he's fucking told at the end of the day, isn't he?
No, I get what you're saying there, John. I'm not criticising the guy, I'm criticising the club.
Aye.
I'm going out and getting a guy like him. I'm not saying it's meant to do with him. But why go for a guy like Damien Duff to a guy that we've never heard to with a laptop, really? You know what I mean? Because it's Stratton's boy or what? I don't know.
Ryan thought he might have been decent for getting untapped talent for the lower leagues in England. Maybe Davis was one that he's flagged up as well. And for whatever reason, the boy's no signed. But see, regarding signing pre-contracts, he doesn't have to tell his club what he's doing if he's in the last 6 months. He doesn't have to tell them nothing, who he's signing for or nothing. He's no legal obligation to do that. So Preston might, he might have had other clubs in for him. Preston don't know about it. He doesn't have to make them aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's the same again. It's the same saga as with your McGinns and other guys. And the guy Tony and all, we spoke about recruitment again, Robert. I think he's 16, 17 goals in the Championship, 6 assists. And we've got £8 million lying on the bench. Harley scored a goal last season. Harley, Ayeti started off well, but he's only playing. Kamara, still a raw talent. Is he good enough? For me, I don't know yet. There's a lot taken up. I don't really want to judge too many guys this year because of how much of a poor season it's been. There's a few your thoughts are already kind of on some of the guys, but I just think the recruitment side and transfers were very, very slow at doing things. Even his press of the day, Robert, they spoke about, obviously, the guy Kenny. He was along at Myra. Well, why do you know something get him in the summer? There was no links about him in the summer. There was nothing. And then, obviously, he spoke about the Spurs guy. The both of Spurs hasn't played much the last few months, so why could you know get that motion in the new, or start of December, for January? Why wait till the 30th of January to go, by the way, I'm interested in you. Do you want to come? Why not?
Ryan, how come we sign players that's no playing for their own fucking club? They can't get a game.
I know.
Why is that?
See the thing on Davis? I'm going to say a hang on Davis. This is just modern football, right? That boy will never be healthy again. He's not going to get into the team. Van Dijk, Joe Gomez, Matip, and they're signing a boy for £30 million on loan now, but a £30 million deal in the summer for Schalke. That boy is only going there purely and simply because of the European champions, either the big club in England. Money. It's money. That boy will be a millionaire. But what's he going to do? He's going to end up in loan at somebody when he goes there. He might play the new because they've not got any centre-halves. I get that. But you're not going to tell me when Van Dijk that comes back, they're going to sit on the bench because Ben Davis is in front of him. He's just a stopgap for the a couple of 4 weeks, 5 weeks till they get centre-halves in. And then that's what, you'll never hear him again. For me, the guy's just all about money. He's not interested in coming up to Celtic and playing. He's 25 years of age. He's just thought about money and more than playing, and I think that's just modern football, in my opinion. I just think it's a disgrace. He could have went to Celtic, played brilliant, 2 seasons, who says, John, get in there and maybe go to a West Ham or something for £12 million. Get his game at West Ham. And then, but Liverpool's not going to be seen. You can't tell me he's going to get in there in Liverpool and break into their team and be this outstanding centre-half. If he does, I'll hold my hands up and say, aye, amazing to the guy, but I just think money's just, that's just modern-day football. The guys went there to say, he plays with the European champions, but money's more the object. Because he's not going to get a game. I just found it a bit strange that he picked that.
Because what I said, I know Robert, see, as soon as I heard he was going to Liverpool, I said, what's the bet? He's on loan to Rangers next season because Gerrard's still there.
Probably.
The recruitment side for us, it's, on hindsight, you're thinking, right, we signed 4 or 5 good players in the summer. Looking back, you thought, right, centre-back experience, Ayeti, goals for Basel coming up here, prove himself, you know, playing at West Ham. And
Ryan, he hadn't scored a goal for 18 months.
No, I know. at West Ham, I know. But mate, that's what you're maybe thinking, this might be the move. But
how can you pay £5 million for a guy that hasn't scored a goal for 18 months?
I know.
His agent must be really good, I'll tell you.
It's criminal. It's very... And then, see, even up to January, the day Robert, again, his presser, they ask him about the Spurs boy, and he says, if we can't really get him in, I don't know. He's one of guys. And he says, well, if we can't get him, we get another centre-back. I don't know if that can happen. So you've had 30 days to find get a centre-back and a right-back, and you need to wait to the 30th of January to get it. I understand it's not just as easy as phone him, get him up the road. I know it takes a few days to get medicals and paperwork and talk to guys, but it doesn't take you 30 days, in my opinion, to talk. Surely through my experience of just watching football, it doesn't take you 30 days to talk to a guy and get him signed. Surely.
No. I think they had their full hang on signing Ben Davis. I think that was the thing. And then that didn't happen. It was desperation. They look at Tottenham reserves. Oh, that boy, we'll try him. Nah, we're not getting him. And now they're just stuck. As you say, you should have an A, B, C, D probably on transfer targets. Jose Mourinho always had three targets or four targets. He tells you that. My mate read his book and said that Jose Mourinho always had four targets for any position he was looking at. Three or four targets, and if he didn't get the first one, he goes second one. Didn't get second one, go third one, blah, blah, blah. That's a guy who knows what he's talking about. And as a manager, me, Celtic, don't know what they're doing. It's a, we'll go for him. Oh, shit, we don't know how we're going to get him. No, we can't get him. Oh, no, what we'll do. Then the desperation starts, and they're just trying to pluck people. The West Ham reserves, Tottenham reserves, they're just trying to pluck cunts for anywhere. Then.
Because obviously, John, we spoke about as well that. Well, I spoke about his press conference to you before we came on, that he says he was gazumped that Davis, gazumped that Liverpool pipped us to the post. Well, wait a minute, for 30 days, Liverpool just kept, Liverpool have come in within 24 hours and signed him. I don't know. As I say, see if I've been too critical about how we go about our transfer business, and I'd like somebody to tell me, because through even me, at any level of football, if it's amateur, junior, it's a phone call, listen, interested, I will talk to you in 2 or 3 days, we'll get back to you. Does it take you 30 days to go to hound a player to get to sign? And then obviously we're talking about the youths. A wee list of guys who, again, young boy Liam Hughes, goalkeeper, 19-year-old at Liverpool. Again, it's a gang of guys that have left. Hughes, Hepburn, Morrison, Adam, Frimpong and Dembele. Dembele's even at summer, but it looks it. Why is a top talent leaving? What I know, I understand they want to go to these big clubs and maybe progress, but can you know persuade them to develop here and maybe get in the Celtic first team, and then we'll get you a bigger move and get you earn your trade in a way? I know they'll go where they are. They might get better coaches and they might get better facilities. I understand that, and but that's no thing to the fans. We're just here as fans to think what we should think should happen. And Lennon, if it's Lennon, whoever's the recruitment, if it's Tommy McIntyre, whoever it is, should be talking to these boys day in, day out, try to get them better, talking to them. Why is so many even first team players and youth players leaving under Lennon? Isn't it, John? It's very, for me, there's just an avalanche of players wanting to leave, wanting to go. New agents coming in, new agents wanting to get guys out of the world, and then Cham's leaving. His agent's been chatting about for months to get him sold. It's just there's something no right behind the scenes, and I don't think we're getting the communication side's been terrible with the full thing, but when it comes to knowing what's happening at the club with the youths, it's very, very hard to, if we want to develop players, how can develop players and they don't want to sign?
Celtic are not actually developing many players now. The last 10 years, tell me who's come through. Forrest, McGregor, Tierney.
McGeady, years ago.
McGeady, right. I was melting that one.
Marshall, years ago again.
That's beyond that. Is
Celtic. Recent Tierney, McGregor, Forrest.
McGregor, Forrest, Tierney.
Mikey Johnson, that's it.
Aye.
I can't think anybody else that's had what you would call a proper career at Celtic. I know most three boys maybe stay in football and get a job with another club, hopefully they do, but we're not producing the way we used to. I don't even think Rodgers was one for wanting to bring through players. He was more interested in the same as Mourinho never fucking plays young boys. He doesn't want to develop players. He wants players that's already developed at the top of their game. The amount of money Celtic spend on their academy, they need to start producing, because there's going to be less money kicking about, isn't there? And we're going to need to get a couple of nuggets to maybe sell on.
They spend £2 million a year on it, John.
Aye.
And that's probably more than 90% of the teams in the SPL's budgets a year. And that's just in youth team.
Yep.
And they weren't any great in the league. The Hamilton and that were beating them in the league. Like the youth league. I think Hamilton was the last team to win the youth league. So where's that gone, Ryan? I said, John, to Ryan before, I think a guy like Ronnie Dyler coming in and taking the youth set up because he's good at developing young boys would be a shout to get his like a rare talent, maybe taking it for the under-23s right down to the under-10s, say. Ronnie Dyler being the head guy and then producing them for there. Just somebody in his type of guy that can produce young players and he'll not get as much stress and he'll not be under as much pressure as what he was under as a manager of Celtic.
Hanya, as you can't have tomato sauce for Ronnie.
The full thing, Celtic, we don't, surely your youth's got to be one of your main things at a club, because they're the guys that might get you money and get young guys actually, or if he can do it, then I might want to try and play football and get in again. It's just wee things I think that we're missing out on tricks. Again, we're missing tricks on, you know, guys like even first teamers like Ben Davis, and then see like guys like in the Jam night. People are saying, everybody who listens to this podcast and follows me on Twitter knows how much a fan I was in Ntamo. I know Rangers fans talk about Glenn Kamara, but for me, Ntamo, I keep saying on his day, but with the ability he's got, for me, he's the best midfielder in Scotland. I think he's better than Cam McGregor on his day. He's got everything. He's got drive, he's got a shot on him, he's got just everything to go and play with a better team, I think, in my opinion. And a better, don't think maybe under a better management, because with Rodgers, Hampton, Bell and Edward, when Edward was coming, they were thriving. They were brilliant, man. The football we were playing was brilliant. And then again, the Lennon's came in. He done all right against in Lazio and stuff like that. He was still relatively consistent in a way. And then he just regressed, and Edward regressed. There's so many players that are regressing under Lennon. And for me, that's not a good sign. That's no right, that something's no right behind the scenes. And I've seen McGregor's interview on Saturday. I've seen his face. I don't know if you watched the interview, Robert, but he was sick, man. Went to John, you can see his face.
I think they're plugging him under the bus a wee bit. He keeps doing all the interviews after the games. And I feel sorry for the boy, because I didn't think he actually played too bad on Saturday.
No.
I thought he was trying, but players went about him on the really helping him, were they?
I just think I think the last podcast, Robert, the game against Sparta Prague, I think it was at Ferencvaros. If he was going on longer, he might have leaked a few things, because you've seen his face. He was absolutely sick. And I think that was again on Saturday. His face, he was absolutely, he looked done in. He looked like, what am I doing here? And he was talking about how we're a youth team and all that. And I think he's just trying to pluck words out. Just because I think he's so frustrated for what's happening. And I think you can see in his face that he knows something's not right. I think we all know something behind the scenes is not going right, because how it's allowed to continue like this, just everything, as you say, for tap to vote for the youths, to tap, guys want to leave, guys not performing.
On the youth setup, Ryan, that's going to be more important now than ever, because we're going to get Brexit. And to sign players for abroad isn't going to be as easy a transaction as the way it used to be, like for visas and stuff like that. So you're going to have to be basing on British players and youth development more than ever, because of this Brexit and all this stuff that comes with it. So we need to get that side behind the scenes sorted. We really need to. And I'm hoping this guy, Dominic McKay, is going to be working 24-7. This guy's going to burn out between these 42, man. He's only 41 now. I feel this guy has got a massive job because he really needs to strip the club back bare. And what I read on the guy, he seems a very, very clever guy, very shrewd guy, and very good business side of it. But I just hope whoever he appoints as the manager, he lets the manager do what the manager wants. He sticks to the side of making money. But I just hope he doesn't try and come in and do what Peter Lawwell's doing, because you're just swapping one guy for another, very carbon copy, but we'll talk about that later on. But the youth setup really needs to change. I can't believe that young boy, we only got him 18 months ago, and he's away to Liverpool. It's like nobody wants to be at the club. And is that because they don't see a pathway to the first team? Because there's constant players leaving, there's constant managers leaving, there's constant coaches leaving. There's no actual structure there that anybody can develop under and say they've got a pathway to the first team. So it needs to be all restructured, the cap table open. But I don't know, man, it's going to be a massive job, isn't it? Because we're finding it very hard to sign one or two players, never mind structure a club.
As you spoke about, John, obviously, we've spoke about on other podcasts about a different structure, following maybe the Ajax or the Leipzig or Salzburg, whatever. The youth system is definitely, I think, something that guy, maybe Mackay's got to come in and he's got to implement, obviously, a new manager, but that new manager's got to have a structure to tap the bottom.
Well, that's what he done with Scottish rugby. He done it for grassroots up to national level. I know football is a different game for rugby, different mentalities, right enough, but as you said, Robert, he's got a hell of a job to try and encourage and develop youth players to try and stay and make a career at Celtic. You don't mind players coming in for 2, 3, 4 years. By the time they're 22, 23, sell them on. That's just business. That's the way it is. But we're no producing. You mentioned Mikey Johnson. What age is Mikey? 21.
How about that, aye?
Roughly, aye.
He should have played more games for Celtic, what he has, if he's that good enough. I don't think he's actually cemented a place. He's no chap in the door wanting to play. I know he's had a bad injury, to be fair, and he's been out for 10 months or so. Hopefully he gets better, but I don't think the long term he's going to be the answer.
It's just, it's very, for the first team of the youth, it's just, I think the youth's got to definitely, it's got to be, the, as Robert says, the pathway to the future now, when it comes to transfers, because something's got to be done about it.
See what Robert said the last podcast, reserve football, that will help.
I think Robert says that, aye, but getting the, kind of, like the Colts in, and if it is competitive football, because I think that's what...
Play against men, no guys your own age.
Well, that's what all these ex-professionals like Simon Ferry, Open Goal, Kevin Kyle, they all talk about how when they played reserve football, they became men, and that's when they learned their football. Like Simon Ferry always talks about when he played with Paul Lambert. Paul Lambert just says, pal, just watch me and you'll learn more than watching me and ball against training. And I think guys like, see your young guys, like your maybe your Henderson's, say they want to play, we maybe just see it isn't in charm and like Brown 1 week in the reserves because on a Saturday they didn't play. He probably learned more after playing in a game with them than he would training with them. That's just my opinion. I think guys will get better playing football than just training with these guys. I don't know what you think of that, Robert, but I think it's maybe that's something that I don't know, obviously, if the pandemic will totally kill that if it happened for money sense, but I think it could be something that Celtic could maybe bring into an argument. Listen, maybe we'll set up a reserve league again.
The reserve league thing, or the Colts league, they put the Colts into League Two. I like the Iron Brew Cup because a lot of the Colts teams get into that and they do get a wee bit of a test. That's a way to develop them as well, but it can't just be in one cup competition. It's got to be in a league set up as well. And I think it will probably generate income for us, some of these smaller teams as well. Like, say, your break-ins and stuff like that. Maybe playing Celtic Colts now, say a Wednesday night at, say, up at Airdrie's Gun, you're like, oh, what am I doing? Or not, I've got to be and watch it. Maybe get a crowd of 5,000, you know what I mean? I think it would benefit the full of Scottish football, especially after the pandemic, because money's got to be shortfall. And maybe just restructure it whilst we're in a pandemic and put the Colts and stuff like that in there and try and generate money. I think it's a win-win situation, or maybe even changing, maybe even putting the reserve league in the summer when people are watching the first teams, and then make the reserve league then for people coming back for injuries and obviously stuff like that, and maybe generate money through that way and get a crowd and maybe get a wee TV deal or something with it. But there needs to be something restructured. Yeah, even maybe, say, League One and Two play in the summer with the Colt teams and restructure it that way, get a wee TV deal, get fans into the game through the summer, and it gives people something to do through the summer, and it can develop players, can play one or two reserve players, it would help, you know what I mean? But that's obviously just a wee idea, I was thinking.
See the garden playing in the summer, you're aware that the Irish League plays through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Look what Shamrock Rovers are doing in Europe. Absolutely outstanding. Yeah. Is that because they're playing different time of the year? That's probably got something to do with it as well.
But see, on that as well, they're playing games as up to that, they're up to speed. Celtic are playing friendlies against sometimes teams who are no near Celtic's level, and then Celtic take ages to get their signings in, and they bank on qualifying. But if you do that, maybe the summer football side, you'll get your signings in before the summer and you can progress.
That's what I mean. Shamrock Rovers, or whoever it is that's representing them, they're up to speed. They're absolutely flying when it comes to qualifiers time. That's why they've been doing so well.
It's just, I think a lot's got to change, but I think a lot it'll change when, if and when, we get a better manager in, with a better structure and a better understanding, because obviously this guy, the new CEO, came in with the sounds that he might be able to help that side of the game and get the grassroots of Celtic a bit better. Obviously regarding the new manager, the review, again, we'll talk about you in 2 seconds, but when it comes to Lennon, how can the team get up for this game, Nomura, after he's just lambasted them after the game Saturday? How can he say the players are, they've no gave me their best, they're no doing this, they're no doing that, they're no doing this league, if his condition isn't the best, his contribution. How can you expect the players, I understand Robert John, we played football, you play for yourself, you play for your teammates, you play for your fans, the manager, you respect them, but you don't go, obviously you go out and fight for them, but that's no, in my opinion, the first thing in your mind. But how are you meant to go after a team talk with him and go, oh, he's made me up for that game? It's going to be very hard for the players after being lambasted and lambasted every week to turn that performance under my Robert. Very hard, in my opinion.
They're no point for him anyway, Ryan, let's be honest. The players are good players. They're no point for them. They're no point as a team. The tactics get changed every week. Players' positions get changed every week. It's just pure shambolic to tap the bottom. And I just don't know why he's been allowed to carry on so long, how bad he's been and how bad the team has been. I mean, their players don't become bad players every night. They're playing bad under a bad management and bad systems and bad tactics. That's simply it. So, as you say, say, for instance, Griffiths is starting Tuesday night, didn't come out. We're looking at him and going like that. I'm not what I play for him. I'm not interested, especially with Griffiths having a lot of mental health issues as well. That might have knocked that guy for six. He might not turn up. He might end up half the rails. I'm not saying you can't balk him or you can't get him into trouble for not being in peak condition, but it's not like he's the only one that's half the boil. There's millions of them. Doesn't he just have a go at Griffiths? You could probably put everybody in that team and have a go at them, let's be honest.
I think you need to give credit to the likes of Kingston's manager and St Mirren's manager. they've found a way to beat Celtic, and I've studied them, I've watched them, they know their weaknesses, and I've exploited it. Celtic can't do that. Why can we not do that?
Because we've not got a manager to do it. The manager can't do it. The manager says years ago that tactics wasn't one of these things. So for me, that's just... And I also meant to say that about the game. St. Mirren were brilliant. But...
They go where they deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But obviously, this big thing that we've been talking about, the review, Robert, John, obviously, we've heard things after the end of Twitter, another podcast, that the reviews might be coming soon, but the hound on the board, when's this review? You need to tell the fans. You need to tell the fans, because the communication is ridiculous. You can't say there's got to be a review, then there's no review. The review was meant to be in the new year. When's the new year? The summer? Next month?
Mm-hmm.
Before we've won 6-7 games in 24 games, any other, even at amateur level, the amateur manager, we go, boys, I can't take you in the club, but I'm away. Is it money we're earning? Is it money that he's still here, that he's holding for the paycheck? Or is Lawwell just want to wait to the end of the season because that's when he's leaving? But the review for me is totally disrespecting the fans. It's disrespecting the guys who do a lot for the club, money-wise, and the Celtic Trust and everybody else who does brilliant things for the club. They're wanting answers, and for me, John, it's just they can't come out and say something and then leave the fans with silence. Even their social media platforms, silence. It's happy birthday this ex player, happy birthday this ex player. Get your Lisbon Lions chocolate, but nothing about a review.
There's a disconnect right through the club, isn't there? For the management, board, players, fans. And when you furlough what the youth set up as well, it doesn't sit well with me. That I know they might, I don't know the ins and outs yet, they might have had to do it because the rest of the teams might have been doing it. I don't know. It's a way of getting 80% of your money off the government, which I'm not going to say that's wrong, because it's an avenue you open for you not to lose as much money, because Celtic are losing money hand over fist with COVID. But the disconnect is frightening. For years we were laughing at that other mob, and they're laughing like fuck now, aren't they? They're all over it.
I don't blame them, quite honest.
I know. I don't know what you think. Obviously, the view, Robert, we've spoke about it. I know you've got quite high opinions on it. It's just, it's they're not wanting to go ask a nut about it, because you're just going to get yourself angry about it, and you don't want to get yourself angry about something that you can't prevent. But it's just, it's very, the disconnect, as John says, it's for the start of the season, it's just been non-existent. The connection for the fans has been, it's not been there.
It must be some fucking amount of paper, man, in this review, because it's lasted far too long. Must be about a fucking five thousand page book, the review, because they've not come out and tell us, they've not told us anything. John Paul Taylor is a nice guy and he's doing a lot for the fans and the club and that. I feel sorry for him, because I think he's taking it to the board, but the board are just rubber-earing them. And then he's having to come back to the fans and saying, I'm putting your points there. And then day in, day out, that guy takes on Twitter, John Paul, what's happening here? People, I need to get this, I need to get this. And he's trying to engage with the fans as much as he can, but it's like he's hitting a glass ceiling. He's trying to take all these points and go to the board, but it's just hitting half the ceiling and falling back into the tap room. Or the door, as you want to say. They're not opening the door to let him in to speak about it. Or they maybe, they're just, I don't know, they're rubber earners, let's be honest. They're not interested in telling us. They're trying to cling on, going as much as they can, hope one gets a cut of results and it just fizzles out to the end of the season, then they can do it. But to me, I think we're only 2-3 weeks away from another massive fans protest in the Celtic Park. I feel that's the way we're going. And I thought after that game on Saturday, it would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said before, they're only the custodians of the club. It's the fans, it's a fans club.
Yep.
And they should have a voice. They should have an opinion. Don't cross the line right enough, but they need to be heard. Yeah. And you know, they will be heard. If things don't improve, they will be heard. And they're going to make a big noise.
Because obviously we're talking about the review, and before the review about Dubai, obviously, John, we found out that it was 400k that they paid to go to Dubai, and there's players furloughed. And I think it's, that just doesn't sit well with a lot of fans, obviously, on Twitter and other podcasts we're talking about it today. It's just wrong. But last week, question a guy for question for John. He says it may be a bit controversial. What do you think we need to do to challenge Rangers again next year? I know a lot of fans might not think a lot is needed, but how many players do you think we need? Do you reckon maybe 6 or 7, and obviously the manager to leave? My opinion is, John, I think a better manager. Obviously, we're going to sell. We're probably going to sell Edward, Ayer, Christie. We're going to sell in the Cham maybe in the summer. So that's at least 4 or 5. You're probably going to get at least 20 million, at least maybe 20 million. I'll pay a new manager. He might come on an idea. I think there may be only 3 or 4 players. If you get 3 or 4 quality players with a better manager, better coaches, for me, you're maybe, see, I'm just half the top of my nut. You're a goalkeeper right away. The right back, you don't know if he's going to be here next year again, the right back. So another left back, 2 centre backs. So McGregor, Pumble and Sorrow, are they going to sign? Aaron Hussey might go back. You're probably going to need about 7 or 8 players.
Easy. Easy.
It's going to be a total rebuild. So I agree with John. It might be controversial, but you're going to need about 7 or 8 players to come into this team. It's going to be like Rodgers, again, in my opinion. Dyer's team was fading out. Players are allowed to leave. And Rodgers come in and stepped all back. I think it's got to be like that again. I think fans will need to strap in, because it's not going to be 3 months. It might take 6 months. It might take a year. As you've said before, John, you would take a year out in a way to make sure you get another 5 or 6 years success. And I think that's the way we might need to strap in and be prepared for, Robert.
5 or 6, 7 or 8. Along the lines of signings, mate. And it can't be just squad players. It's got to be of quality to come in and improve the team, because I think, as you say, guys like Tumble, McGregor and Sorrow are decent players, but they're getting now dragged into different levels, and the players that are maybe leaving in the summer are just down tools as far as I'm concerned. They're not interested. I just pray to God there's something happening in the background. As a manager identified, the guy knows he's getting the job in the summer, but it's hush-hush, because there's no way you can bring a guy in the summer, pray to him, right, what signings do you need? You know these things happen that quick, but the qualifiers creep up on you. He's going to end up with a decimated squad, beat on back at centre-half in your qualifiers. You've not got your right centre-halves in, because then you end up getting outbid for centre-halves. There's got to be a manager in place with 3 or 4 signings in place, ready to come in and hit that ground running, and then you can maybe take your time over the next 2 or 3 or 4 signings. There's got to be something like that in place. Whether we've got that in place now, I don't think so, mate. I think the silence is deafening, and the silence is for a reason, but I pray to God that it's all this is all going to work out for us in the summer, and we've got all this in place. But
and obviously,
the next few weeks is going to be hard watching.
Yourself, John, I'll ask you about on that. What's your thoughts on, obviously, the restructuring for next season? How many players do you think we need to get? And obviously, again, guys, if you've got a thought about a new manager, a new thought, I know Lenny's still in the job. I know a lot of managers won't want to talk about it because you're still in a job. But as fans, you're allowed to speculate. We all know I'm Eddie Howe, Christmas card list. I want him in. I want him in to come and step back to the club. But I don't know what your opinion is on it, John.
I just want a manager and it's going to win. Play decent football, bring through the youths. It's a hard ask, that, right enough. You probably no get all that. But see, the other mob, they've no money. They're only signing guys that sort of contract. I think they're going to have a pretty settled squad again next year. One or two of them might leave. Aye, Morelos will probably go. They might get a few million for him, maybe one or two others. But they'll be pretty settled. I don't think their first 11 is going to change much. They're there for the beating. Celtic's totally underperformed this season. I think, obviously, guys will be leaving. There'll be fresh faces coming in. But as you said, they've got to be starting games. None of this squad stuff. They've got to be in to start and strengthen the side. because we spoke for months about Celtic's got 18, 19, 20 quality players. Seeing looking back, we've no, have we?
No.
But again, is that no down to the management and the coaches? Because last year, apart from maybe three or four players in start 11, that's a team that went out to Lazio and can I beat Lazio kind of comfortably in a way. And
Lazio pumped us.
No, at home. Away at home. Celtic at home were quite comfortable.
No, at home they punished us, I know, Ryan. We were lucky at home.
I thought we were quite comfortable.
There have been three or four up, forced up out after three or four world class saves.
Well, maybe I'm pumping with Mars then. Maybe I'm pumping with Mars.
Watch your
home and away. Maybe I'm just trying to back my team up in a way. But you know what I'm saying is that they beat Lazio twice. Julian and him at the back, I at the back, they were decent. I know in Europe we can see goals, but we beat Lazio twice and we've done well in that European campaign in a way. And we've just totally felt in the fan, man. Just, again, is that down to Matt? I know people say it's the same manager that you beat Lazio in that last year, but the regression for me is just, it's very, very far how far these guys haven't done.
Aye, Ryan, you were talking about managers. You know, I'm a big admirer of Michael O'Neill at Stoke. I say to him just because I thought he'd done a cracking job in Northern Ireland, but I've just come up with another wee thing. People can agree or they can't agree, but I'd go with Chris Davis, Brendan Rodgers' assistant, and Damien Duff, whether they would work together, whether they'd be interested in doing it, but two guys that know the club, two guys that are highly respected and two good coaches, might know what might work, but just that was just a different opinion. I thought I'd hear it, just fling a different opinion, and I think you would be able to get the two of them, but it's whether they would want to come in. Are they just coaches, or is Chris Davis want to develop and be the manager? Because I heard he's a lot good behind a lot of Brendan Rodgers stuff. Maybe he would like to get these in with Damien Duff as a coach. That was just another option I just thought in my head.
And obviously, your last thoughts on that, John, before we end it there?
I can't see Damien Duff coming back. He went away for a reason, didn't he? Davis is obviously a top coach because Rodgers wouldn't have him working with him if he wasn't. But as I've said, I quite fancy the Leipzig setup, the way they do things. Off the top of my head, I can't really think another manager. It's either going to be somebody fresh or a proven winner, what Benitez or whatever. But no, the man that's early now anyway.
I think we can all agree on that. But again, thanks for your time, guys. We've got a lot of topics to go through. Again, it's just good to get different opinions because a lot of these are all humming and harring about what's been happening. Obviously, I've just seen them. I've just signed the guy the right back. He's been first announced. So that's one thing we came out and said today. Another review, but it's something, I suppose. But that's us this week. Robert, John, appreciate your time and we'll be back on Thursday to review the Commander game. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Can't deny the need.